Matthew chapter 1 is going to be our main passage of Scripture today. Matthew chapter 1. And I just want to talk for a few minutes this morning about what I think is really an interesting time in which we live. I would even say a challenging time. And I doubt that anybody that reads much of the newspaper, watches any of the news, would disagree with this. But I've read several articles recently which are not even faith-based kind of studies that have been going on that have basically said that dads are becoming less and less a picture, part of the picture of our families in our country over the last couple of decades. It's been a sharp decline just in the last little while. And I don't want to overwhelm you with statistics. And I certainly don't want to discourage our single moms in our congregation and in our community, because the reality is God can work through every circumstance, can't He? Absolutely. But we do need to acknowledge the impact on our society of this reality of these absent fathers. And just a few statistics, like you need them, but just to allow us to hear again the challenges we face. 85% of youths in jail grew up in a home without a father. 85%. So what would that do if only 15% of those that are in there right now were the only ones that were in there? You see where I'm going with that. Number two, children who grow up in a home separate from their father are 4.3 times more likely to be smokers. Now, that was just one health statistic. There are statistics about marijuana and alcohol and other unhealthy behaviors. Number three, 75% of younger patients seeking substance abuse treatments are from fatherless homes. 75%. We just announced that we're praying for the opioid crisis, didn't we? You see where some of the challenges are from? Not all of them, but this is significant. Children who grow up without a father are twice as likely to drop out of high school, are four times more likely to have emotional or behavioral problems that require assistance. And then I think this one's staggering. Approximately 75% of teenage suicides occur in a home where one parent is absent. Three out of four. Now, I told you I didn't want to overwhelm you with statistics, so last one for this morning, but it applies to us. Listen to what it says. If a mother attends church regularly with her children, but without the father, only 2% will choose to become regular churchgoers as adults. It's just the statistic, okay? If a father attends church regularly with his children, even without the mother, 44% will choose to become regular churchgoers. Isn't that staggering? When you start putting all those statistics together, the truth that we have to remember from Scripture is that God designed the family, didn't He? See, it's His design. You go back to the very beginning of Genesis, and we're told that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And you see, it's out of that kind of commitment that God intended for a family to be raised. It's His idea. So really, we should in no way be surprised, should we, that Jesus is coming to earth, while it was unlike any other birth that had ever happened or ever will happen, that God placed Him in a family with a mom and with a dad. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. If you're able, stand with me as we read this opening portion of Scripture. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You can go ahead and have a seat. Now, last week we studied a few of the realities about Jesus' mother, Mary. In Luke chapter 1, we read that she and Joseph were engaged. And at that point, in the way the commitments were made in Israel in that day, they were considered married, although they had not consummated their marriage. It was not finalized. That's why you'll even hear him talk about Joseph as her husband. But here, you know, we saw that Luke chapter 1, that Mary had this special plan for her life that God gave her. And she said, you know what? I'm good. I'm ready to go. Put me in. And so she acknowledged her willingness to be a part of that plan. Now today we're going to learn a little bit about Joseph. And the reality is, I know most of you studied these stories before. We don't know as much about Joseph. We're not given as much in Scripture as we are with Mary. But we're given enough to realize several truths. All right, let's look at those this morning. Truth number one, Joseph was a man of character. Okay, God chose Joseph as a man of character. Look at verse 18 with me again. Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth came about. His mother was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. All right? Same exact timeline and story that we read in Luke chapter 1, where Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. That commitment was there. Both had kept themselves pure, waiting for their wedding day. Because you see, this is important to understand. It's important to keep in front of us. Because before that day arrived, Mary was expecting a baby. We know the story. But did you hear what the Scripture said? It was through the Holy Spirit. So it was a miraculous thing that God was doing. But Joseph was a man of character. He was preparing for that day when he would be joined with Mary and they would start their own family. He would leave and cleave. As Genesis has stated, we already talked about that, and the two would become one. But here's the key. He didn't get ahead of God's plan. That's why we know he's a man of character. He didn't get ahead of God's plan. He didn't allow his own desires and human emotion to control him. He was a man of character. Now, I'm going to say something this morning, and I know many of you are going to immediately agree with me. Some of you might scratch your heads a little bit, but in today's world, if you bring up the example of Joseph and Mary, and the idea that abstaining from sex until you're married is the best plan, it's God's desire, people are going to look at you like you're from another planet. They are, for the most part, right? Well, that's just not modern thinking. That's just not possible in today's world. Really? Well, my Bible tells me that with God, all things are possible. How many things? All things. See, we live in such a sexually charged society that we just give in sometimes to just whatever seems natural or just seems to make sense to us. But if God calls us to do something, the Bible tells me that He will give me the resources to accomplish what He calls me to do. Do you believe that? He's going to help me do what He calls me to do. And so many times in our culture today, I think we sell ourselves short. You know, we might even acknowledge that taking care of our bodies is important, but we don't turn to God for help in overcoming those areas where we're tempted. We just give in. Take the easiest route. And I blame our culture, but the reality is probably every society since the beginning of time has struggled with various issues. I don't know, sometimes we might realize the psychological and the emotional benefits, for instance, of forgiveness and reconciliation. And yet we don't want to go through the hard work to see that happen in our relationships. You know, these are just the realities that God comes along and says, let me help you wrestle through those things. And Joseph and Mary experienced them as well. I don't think we should take what we read about Joseph for granted. He was a man's man in many ways. He was a carpenter. Okay, he built things with his hands. He had the same desires that every one of us faces. And here's the key. He had a number of choices. He could have gone any direction. And yet he proved himself to be a man of character. Now, how was he able to do that? Well, the second thing we know about him is that Joseph was close to God. He was close to God. And I really think that this may be the part where sometimes the church struggles presenting the gospel to the world around us. Because we do live in a very challenging day. We've made so many advances in life, haven't we? I mean, if you look back on it, sometimes I wish my grandfather, who was very technically minded, could build anything with his hands. I wish he could come back and see, you know, just what we carry in our hands with our cell phones anymore, let alone all the other advancements, right? And so you look at all these things and how much we're gaining in knowledge and all those kinds of things, that I think it becomes tempting to think that man is the source of wisdom and knowledge and the future. It's in our hands. And yet, in spite of all these advances, the reality is there's one key area of life that we will never be able to completely figure out, isn't there? What is it? It's the heart. Man's heart. We have sinful hearts. Every single person is crippled by these realities and challenged beyond compare, no matter how many advances. And so we see these great strides in technology and healthcare, infrastructure development, even dad jokes. So good. And yet there will always be things in our world like racism and sexism, ageism, any of the isms that you want to throw out there. Why? Because sin is something that we will never be able to overcome on our own. See, that's the gospel message. Is that no matter how much we might accomplish, we can never get to where God wants us to be because of sin. And yet Jesus, God's Son, God with us. So you see, Joseph was really no different in this way. While we're not given a lot of information about his life, we know he was close to God. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Because Joseph was her husband, was faithful to the law. Now, what does this little short phrase mean? Was faithful to the law. Well, God gave the Hebrews instructions so that they could walk with him. He knew they were going to face life just like we do. There were going to be challenges all around them. And so he communicated with them so that they could overcome the sinful nature through his direction, through his strength, not their own. Because we'll never be able to do that, will we? And Joseph was all in. He was all in. He knew that his only real hope in life was to walk hand in hand with God. He couldn't do this on his own, no matter how strong he thought he was. Now, the Bible does give us several other examples of this truth in Joseph's life. I just want to show you one very quickly. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Now, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, there are those instructions again that were given. Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, we don't have time this morning to study the significance of what happens right there in that story. Go back and look it up in a couple commentaries. Really kind of get a grasp for that. But the reality is this. Joseph was close to God. He knew that if he followed what God had told him, that he was going to experience God's blessings in his life. And so as he walked through life, what a great example, because he was close to God. As he struggled with his own sinful nature, he was determined not to try to do it in his own strength. He was going to do it the way God had designed. All right, here's the third thing we know about Joseph. Joseph was just like us. Yeah, we've already kind of hinted at this. And if you were here last week, you've probably already caught on, haven't you? It ended up being the same basic outline as what we talked about with Mary. The same truths are right there. Mary was told all of these amazing truths about life. Remember last week? All these things that Jesus was going to be and how long his reign was going to end. It's a really long time, isn't it? How long was it? Okay, six of you were here last week. That's really good. Really proud of you. Hang in there. The angel tells her all these amazing realities, and then she backs up, and not in a negative way, but she just thinks about how this is going to impact her. Well, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I mean, what's going on here? It's almost instinctual to do that. I understand that, all right? And even though Joseph was a man of character, and even though he was close to God, he really basically had the same kind of initial reaction. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, in many ways, because he is a man of God, he didn't want to humiliate Mary. That's really a very sweet part of the story, isn't it? Even though, now think about this, even though he was probably humiliated at the fact that his wife was pregnant and was not his child. Okay? You got to, again, figure in all the details and all the ramifications there. And so in his attempt to follow the law without ruining her life, he was going to end their relationship quietly. And he was going to try to pick up the pieces of his life, because that's literally what will be left. Just the pieces. I just want to stop for just a minute and realize this really does talk about, I think, one of the critical truths from Scripture. I don't see anywhere in the Bible, and I've read and studied, and you know, there might be some things you can point out to me later, but I don't see anywhere in the Bible where we are told that we can learn to control our emotions. I don't see anywhere that that's true. Time after time, we read accounts in the Bible of how circumstances happened and people had immediate emotional reactions to them. It's kind of that nature thing that I'm talking about. The difference for believers is that even though those emotions come, think about Joseph, even those initial reactions happen for the believer through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives us the ability to control what we do with those emotions. That's the sign of a believer. The reality that no matter how I feel or no matter how that has impacted me, that I slow down and I listen to God, I understand His Word, and I live out the truth, not just simply how I feel. I hope that makes sense. You see, our sinful nature, our uncontrollable heart, just one example from Scripture, may tell us to hate our enemy. That might be an instinctual response. You're going to hurt me. You're going to want to harm me. I hate you. That could be the initial response. And yet we're realized, and Jesus taught this, didn't He, that what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to pray for them. Now that doesn't come, somebody just doesn't turn around and just go, oh, you hate me, oh, I love you. That just doesn't happen that way. And if it does, they need counseling. I mean, there is something really wrong. The initial reaction is to return the same kind of thing. And yet the reality is that through God and His Holy Spirit and His Word, we can do something different. We can live it out His way. Now, does that mean we will ever get to the place where our first reaction when somebody attacks us is empathy and prayer? Well, it's highly unlikely, just to be honest with you, that first reaction. But when the emotions of anger and hatred arise, we turn to God. And you know what we say? God, teach us to act as You would act. I've got these human emotions. Now teach me how to live out Your will in my life, not my own will. I think Joseph, again, was a very good example here, wasn't he? He was a man of character. He was close to God. He was just like us. And in the end, if you kept your outline from last week, the six of you who were here, Joseph was available and obedient. Joseph was available and he was obedient. When confronted with truth from God, okay, here's the truth, the angel tells him in the dream. And look at how Joseph changed his course of action. Chapter 1, verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, look at the message the angel gives him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, it's the same message taken to Mary. See, again, the initial reaction might be fear. That's the emotion. The angel says, don't be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Very good detail the angel gives him to assure him. This is God's plan. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. I don't know how actors and actresses, I'm not a good actor. I'm not a very good actress either, but you know, when I watched that video the first time, I don't know if they were able to produce that or whether the actor just got into it so much, but did you notice that right when he said that he is going to save his people from their sins. Like this big teardrop in the corner of his eye. How do they do that? Because that'll choke you up, won't it? I mean, this is who Jesus is going to be. This is what he's going to do. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And just gives the very prophecy that is there. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Now look at verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He was available, and he was obedient. He did what the Lord commanded him. And so what happened? Jesus was born into a family with earthly parents who, far from being perfect, we established that last week. But even though that's who they were seeking God and they were longing to live with Him. Now, if you have time, we don't have time this morning because we're going to pray with the elders. I just want to encourage you to go back and to read Matthew chapter 2, because there are a couple of other stories where you continue to see Joseph in this light that we're talking about this morning. First of all, he took Mary and Jesus to Egypt to avoid Herod. You remember that story? Go back and read it. Again, God comes along and says to Joseph, this is what you need to do. Joseph says, but Lord, do you know how far Egypt is? I mean, do you know what those toll roads are like on the way to Egypt? I mean, that's dry land down there. Lord, you don't mean that, do you? You don't read anything like that, do you? God says and comes and says, Joseph, okay, you have Jesus. You see my plan. Now go to Egypt. And he obeys. He followed God's lead then and returned to Nazareth when God said, okay, it's all right. Head back. Now you can go back. You just see he is always the one that's there to do what God calls him to do. Now, we need to wrap up this morning because we're going to pray with our elders. But as we conclude, I want to point out one final truth about Joseph's life. And I think I knew this at some point, but I'd kind of forgotten about this reality in Scripture. This Advent season, we're kind of looking at the song, What Child Is This? It's going to be the first song that we sing during healing prayer time. And last week, it's on Mary's lap. What child is this on Mary's lap is sleeping, right? If you think about it, and most of us know this song pretty well, Joseph's not mentioned in that song. There's no word about Joseph at all. Poor guy. All right? Don't even acknowledge him. Now, here's the truth that I did not remember, really. In all of Scripture, not one of Joseph's words is recorded. We have nothing that Joseph ever said. We have Mary's words, don't we? We have some beautiful words of hers as she sings, you know, this song of praise to God for what he's doing in her life. No words from Joseph. Maybe he couldn't sing a joyful noise. I don't know. But we don't see anything. Not even one bad dad joke. I mean, that would have just really helped me this morning if we could have found one of those. But to be honest with you, I think Joseph would be pleased with such obscurity. I really do. He never wanted to be the center of attention. He didn't want it all to focus on him and around him. The only parts of Joseph's life that we recognize in Scripture are what he did. Isn't that awesome? That's how we know who he is. And the truth is, he followed God's will for his life. Was he perfect? No, absolutely not. Did he have challenges? Yes. Did he have emotions like we have? We've read about them. But in the end, he did God's will. All right, since we followed the same outline as last Sunday, I'm going to ask you the same questions. All right, what could God be calling you to do this Christmas? Because these are amazing stories, and we tend to look back on them like they're ancient history, like nothing like that happens today, right? Is it possible God's calling you to do something for him this Christmas? Maybe you just need to work on being a person of character, that very first part that we talked about. I love the phrase, it's never too late to start doing what's right. That's true, isn't it? Okay, maybe that's what he's calling you to do. Maybe you're just beginning to catch on to this faith thing. You really need to dig in there and to dive in and go all in as Joseph did. Maybe God's calling you to grow closer to him. We said Joseph was close to God. Maybe there are some folks here this morning that you hear all these things, you love the music, you understand what Christmas is all about, and you believe it. But you're not close to God right now, and you know it. You know there's some room there to dig in and to get closer. Maybe God's calling you to be available and obedient. There may be very specific things God wants you to do this Christmas. See, this is the good part of the message for me, because there are too many of you. I can't possibly tell you even what all those options are. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is just as at work today as He was when He talked to Joseph, isn't He? The Holy Spirit can come to every single one of us, sometimes uninvited, just to tell us what we need to do. Are you available? Will you be obedient if He speaks to you? You see, if we listen to Him and follow Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, I truly believe, and it may not go down in history as what Mary and Joseph did, but I truly believe that God will bring glory to Himself through your life just as He did with Joseph and Mary. Absolutely believe it. That's what He wants to do. That's why we're here. The question is, are we available? Are we obedient? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much that especially at this time of year, we can look back, we can see the event which changed the course of history for all eternity. We can understand the average person who is involved in these stories just as we are in our lives today. We can see the principles of Scripture as they are played out in each one of those lives, and we can realize that You want to work in our hearts and lives today just as much as You did those people back then. That You do indeed have a plan for our lives. That You want to be close to us, and You want to speak to us, and You want to use us. You want us to be as close to You as anyone that we read about in Scripture. And Father, out of that kind of relationship, we can realize a life that's not only blessed, because it certainly will be, but it's a life that will bring You glory, will bring people to Christ, and will make a difference in this world that is so hurting and dark and empty. Father, Emmanuel is with us. May we represent Him with our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.